Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's join our hearts together in prayer and seek the Lord's face. Gracious, loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together today around Thy precious Holy Word. We thank Thee for the Word of God that reveals unto us our lost estate, that reveals unto us a glorious Saviour, that reveals unto us that wonderful offer of mercy to the whosoever will. And we pray, O Lord, as Thy word goes forth, that the Spirit of God will accompany that word and write it upon hearts. We pray, Lord, it will be heard effectually. Precious souls will be saved by the grace of God, backsliders restored, and even God's people encouraged as they're taught the things of the Lord. We do pray for our brother McClung as he would minister today. Lord, fill him with Thy Spirit, I pray, and use him as God's messenger to this congregation. We thank Thee for this privilege. And we ask you to meet with us now in our Saviour's precious and holy name. Amen. Our scripture reading today is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 9, commencing to read at verse number 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread away at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Amen. We pray God add a blessing to the public reading of his precious and holy word. Let's join together in the worship of the Lord with that beautiful hymn, "He the Pearly Gates Will Open."
We're very glad to be with you today and the opportunity of bringing the Word of God. And I want to turn your attention to the opening verse of that chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 9, where it highlights this act of kindness that David showed to Mephibosheth. And it says there, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, upon coming to the throne and establishing the throne under his rule, there was a promise that David could not forget to keep. And that promise revolved around this act of kindness that we have read of here in this particular chapter. David has settled the kingdom under him, and when that point in time had come, there was something that he had promised some time ago to do in his life that now has come to the fore, that he must fulfill that promise. And as a result of that, we read here how he instigated an inquiry. And he wants to know, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that he may show him kindness? So he's looking for a particular house. He's looking for a descendant of the house of Saul. And he instigates this inquiry. And there's this man Ziba who is found, who was a servant of the house of Saul. And he is able to tell the king that yes, there is indeed one individual, Mephibosheth by name. He's not living in his home tribal area. He's living on the other side of Jordan in the land of Gilead. And David sends for this man and commands him to come and to appear before him. And as he comes into the presence of David, as we read down the chapter, David makes known to him this act of kindness that he is going to do. And what you have in this chapter is an illustration of the gospel and the kindness that God shows, the mercy that God shows to an individual sinner. There's those words over in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 where it speaks about the kindness of God, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world and the work that he would do at the cross. It is framed there in the language of the kindness of God. So when we come back to this portion in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and read about Mephibosheth and the kindness that David showed to him, you have an illustration here of the gospel and what Jesus Christ does for those whom he saves. He shows mercy and he shows kindness to them. And I want you to notice some things here with regards to this kindness. First of all, I want you to consider the remarkableness of this act of kindness. The remarkableness of it. Mephibosheth would have been the last individual in all the land of Israel to ever have been brought before David and to have ever been shown this act of kindness. There was no worthiness in him as an individual. In verse 8 of the chapter there, Mephibosheth understands that well about himself, because he says, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Mephibosheth had a very low opinion of himself because of his connection, you see, with the house of Saul, because he belonged to a rebellious house. The house of Saul were a rebellious house. Just a few chapters previous there in chapter 3, 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, you read, "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David." So there had been animosity, there had been war, there had been this division between the house of David and the house of Saul that had gone on for a number of years. And Mephibosheth belongs to this house that is opposed to David. And therefore, is it not surprising that David would ever have any interest in showing kindness to a descendant of the house of Saul? Why not somebody like a descendant of the house of Samuel? Why not a descendant of the house of Nathan, the seer that we read of in David's time as well? Why not an individual from one of those houses? But no, it's somebody from the house of Saul that David is looking for. And even though this man belongs to a rebellious house, David is still going to show him remarkable kindness. As we know, Mephibosheth was lame. It is mentioned there in the chapter. And if you go back to that 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4, you read about the circumstances in which Mephibosheth suffered this fall and became lame. It was that day when Saul died in Mount Gilboa, and Jonathan as well, and the news comes out of Jezreel, and it says, "His nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass, as he made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth." So this man Mephibosheth carries around in his own body something that is associated with that rebelliousness and that animosity that there was being between the house of Saul and the house of David, and the consequences upon the house of Saul in that Saul died, and some of his sons that day as well on Mount Gilboa. But the one point to notice there in the chapter that we have read is that death was working its way through this house. Because David frames the inquiry there in verse 1. He says, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? David is struggling to find one individual that belongs to this house. Death has taken away so many out of this family that David is struggling to find one individual. He has to send out an inquiry, has to get a servant to locate this man and bring him to him, because death was taking away the members of this family. And if you put all of that together, you've got a picture of the sinner. Every individual born into this world is born into a rebellious house. The house of mankind, the house of Adam. We are rebellious by nature against God. We bear in our own bodies the marks of the fall into sin. And death is taking humanity away one by one. And yet in the gospel we discover there is this remarkable act of kindness that God bestows through his dear Son upon those who are rebellious before him and who have even in their own bodies and lives the marks of the fall into sin that took place. So you have the remarkableness of this. I want you secondly to consider the reason for this remarkable act of kindness. What made David and all the other things that he had to do as king in the land of Israel, and all of those other things that would have occupied his time? He has just come to the throne. He's seeking to establish the throne under his rule and under his authority. Why would David start to do this at this particular time? Why would he be so interested in a rebellious house and one individual of that rebellious house who was far away, as I say, living on the other side of Jordan in the house of He's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel and Lodibar. You see, there was a reason. There was something that compelled David to instigate this inquiry and to set in motion that process that would bring this man, Mephibosheth, into the royal court and bring him before David. And David would make known to him that he was going to show this remarkable kindness to him. If you go back a few chapters in the Word of God into 1 Samuel chapter 20, and you will discover there the reason why this is so. And in 1 Samuel chapter 20, there's a conversation that is recorded that took place between David and Jonathan. And Jonathan is speaking here, and he says in verse 15, "But also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So there in that chapter you have the explanation, the reason why David is so desirous now to show this act of kindness towards Mephibosheth. There is a covenant that is in existence. There is this covenant between David and between Jonathan, that is between these two individuals who had a special love the one for the other. And Jonathan has made David to make a promise, to swear, as the word there is in that particular portion. He's made him to promise, he's made him to covenant, that when the Lord establishes David upon the throne, and when the Lord has subdued all his enemies around about him, both within the kingdom and outside of the kingdom, that David would not forget the promise that he had made to show kindness to Jonathan's descendants. And that is why when you come forward to 2 Samuel chapter 9, that you read about this inquiry that was instigated. There is a covenant that underpins this. Here is the reason why David is going to show this kindness to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth has no grounds at all for coming to David. If you notice there in verse 7, when he is brought into David's presence, David has to say to him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father." David makes it known to Mephibosheth, here's the grounds upon which I'm going to show you kindness. It's nothing to do with you. It's all to do with Jonathan. It's all to do with the covenant and promise I made to Jonathan. Well, is that not what we have in the gospel? Why does God show mercy to unworthy and undeserving rebellious sinners? Is it not because of a covenant? The covenant of grace that exists between God the Father and God the Son? That's the grounds upon which God will show mercy to any sinner. And there are no other grounds upon which God can show mercy to a sinner. It's only upon the grounds of that covenant of grace. That work that Jesus Christ did, when he covenanted with his Father to come into this world and to go to the cross and lay down his life as a ransom for his people. On the grounds of that covenant, God will show mercy to unworthy and undeserving sinners. And where there is that sense of unworthiness, that sense even of fear, because David here says to Mephibosheth, "Fear not." There must have been fear in that man's countenance as he was brought into David's presence. Did he fear what was going to happen? Did he think David was going to enact revenge for all that had happened in the past? And instead of revenge, it was kindness, it was mercy. And even though we are unworthy and undeserving, even though we are ill-deserving and God's wrath ought to fall upon us because of our sins, God bestows mercy through Jesus Christ. And there is a covenant that underpins it. And how glorious the truth it is to know there is a way tonight to know God's mercy and God's grace and to have forgiveness of sins. One final point I want you to notice here, and that is the richness of this act of kindness. Not only the remarkableness of it and the reason for it, but notice some of the details here with regards to the richness of it. There's two particular things to notice here. For example, in verse 7, you read there about a restoration that's going to take place. David tells Mephibosheth as he comes into his presence, he says, "I'm going to show you kindness because of Jonathan, thy father." And then he says, "I'll restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father." So here's the first thing that David highlights. There's going to be a restoration. Everything that you've lost, everything that was taken away from you because of the acts of rebellion and all that had happened in the past and the judgment of God that had fallen upon Saul and upon his house, and they had lost everything, David says, "I'm going to restore it all to you again." And that's why you follow on there some of the details just to fill in here from verse 9, particularly where there's details there given about Ziba and the many sons that he had and how he was recommissioned to enter into the service of Mephibosheth and to look after all of this land. It gives us some indication just how large a portion it was. This was no small, meager portion that was being restored. This was a great restoration that was being brought to pass here. And when God saves a sinner and bestows mercy and kindness upon that sinner, there's a restoration. There's a restoration of all that was lost in Adam. Everything that the head of the house of humanity, brought upon us as consequences, and the fellowship and communion with God and the privileges and the blessings that belong to our first parents that were all lost because of the entrance of sin into the world are all now restored. All now restored in this act of kindness that Jesus Christ bestows upon an unworthy sinner. But not only is there the restoration, if you look at the rest of verse 7, David goes on to say, "And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And that's highlighted on down through those closing verses as well, about this additional reward that will come. Not only the restoration, but this additional reward that will come upon Mephibosheth as well. And it really has two aspects there. First of all, he's going to eat bread at the king's table. This man who has lost everything has now got this all restored to him. And David says, you're going to be brought into the king's palace. You're going to come in and you're going to sit at the king's table and you're going to eat all of the delicacies that are on a royal banqueting table. And what a difference that must have made in Mephibosheth's life. From living in somebody else's home with nothing at all, now to living in the king's palace, eating at the king's table. What a glorious privilege has been bestowed upon this man. And then you'll notice there as well in verse 11 that it mentions that he's going to be looked upon as one of the king's sons. The closing statement there of verse 11, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth knew the spirit of adoption. He doesn't belong to the family of David, but David's going to bring him in and count him as one of the king's sons. He's going to sit at the royal banqueting table, and he's going to be looked upon as one of David's sons. His other sons were going to be there as well. Mephibosheth was going to be counted in among them as one of the king's sons. Isn't that exactly the same thing that the Lord does for those whom he bestows mercy upon? Does he not bring us in to partake of all the blessings of the gospel? We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Does he not give to a sinner the spirit of adoption? They become the sons and daughters of God. Such is the Lord's kindness to unworthy and undeserving sinners. And when we read this portion and we read about Mephibosheth and what happened to him, it's a wondrous and glorious illustration of the mercy that God bestows upon you and I. Unworthy, undeserving, and yet so bountifully blessed. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. We're going to bow together in prayer and just commit ourselves to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the revelation of the kindness of the word of God to us. And we pray that thou would be pleased, Lord, to bless thy word to all of our hearts this evening. And may there be some individual who'll come and taste and see that thou art good and be like Mephibosheth. And instead of having fear and dread, come to know the mercy of God and become a child of God. Bless thy word, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.